This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast.
I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Sir, how we doing? How we doing? It's an extra special American Red Devils podcast. You're calling from a place that isn't down the street. It's not the pod room, sir. It's a special day for John and his family. And we're also bringing great news. U.S. are in the process of qualifying for the World Cup. But John, where are you at? What are you up to?
I'm in the hospital. My baby girl was born this morning in the early hours, March 30th. She came at a little over 6 pounds, 3 ounces. She's a little tiny tot, but she's amazing. Me and her mom are super proud, and I'm proud to add another American Red Devil to the ranks here. Another child that I can steep with Manchester United's glory and history and hope that they turn it around before they're old enough to figure out that Manchester United aren't that good anymore.
It might take a while, sir. They might be teenagers by the time that happens. But from everyone in the American Red Devil family, sir, we're sending you huge congratulations, well wishes, and a lot of love, because this is just a commitment to the American Red Devil's ethos, which is pod never sleeps, and we appreciate you taking the time tonight, sir, to wrap up a pretty big day for at least U.S. fans as we head to the Middle East at the end of the year.
Pod never sleeps. I have done the pod from the hospital before with my son. And you know what? It's nice to take a break for 45 minutes and just talk. The game we love, the team we love with my great friend Alex. And look, I appreciate it. We're doing great. We're over the moon. I'm so happy. But I'm also like didn't sleep at all last night. So if I'm stumbling, rumbling, bumbling, you know, these legs are tired. That's all I got to say. So I'm going to do my best here. But again, huge day. I got the U.S. game on right now. So for anyone listening to this after the fact, it's the 53rd minute. Costa Rica did score. It's 1-0 Costa Rica to the United States. Obviously, they would need to score 5 for it to make a difference. So the big story here being that the United States looks to be qualifying for the World Cup for the first time in 8 years. I am absolutely buzzing. We are going to be going to Qatar to support the United States men's national team. And overall success, I mean, you know, they could have done it better. Similar with United, a lot of parallels with Manchester United. When you watch the U.S. men's national team, great players, great team, and they never kind of lived up to it. Should have probably won the group, but we'll take qualifying at this point. Just like United, we'll take top four at this point.
It's true. It's amazing the parallels between the two, of course. But, you know, you get excited by both. I'm excited about the U.S. qualifying after the travesty that was 4 years ago. This coach, you know, whether we like him or not, rate him or not, he's taking the team to the big dance. And that's what's the most exciting thing, sir. So all of us are looking forward to seeing the United States make an impact there. And then Manchester United, the team we are here for at the end of the day, are back in action. It's their last push of the season. Leicester, the Foxes at home, should be a good match. And hopefully, I don't know, the noise about United been more of the same, but hasn't been quite as toxic as usual. But I don't know if we can even keep that track of that these days, all the stories flying around.
Speaking of the fumbling, rumbling, stumbling, trying to hire a manager, like, are you kidding me? Like, it's taken so long for them to figure this out. It's just like that they hire managers like they sign players. It's like day late, dollar short, like 3, 4, 5 months after the fact. It makes no sense. In the modern game, you got to be able to make moves. I mean, that's how you're going to be able to get these players. Look at the moves Barcelona is making with Kessie. They're going to get Christensen as well from Chelsea, it's rumored. Doing a lot of great deals with not a lot of upfront money. They're hustling, and United should be in a similar position or doing nothing.
Sir, the more things change, the more they stay the same. We heard a lot of noise. Gary Neville was talking about today, trying to keep the Glazers accountable. Dude, nothing's changed in 20 years. It is more the same. And you could tell just based on the pace in which they're doing things, manager search is a good one. Comp with signing players is equivalent, or selling players, right? It's always just slow. And it shows that the team isn't focused and the front office is, dude, they're letting us down. But that being said, we know the problems in the front office, or we know the manager search should be done by now. It does seem to be going the orange direction. It looks like we might be getting a Dutchman based on his interview last week. That seems to have gone well. The smoke that's continuing to circle there, and the fact that Poch hasn't gotten kicked out of Paris. So either way, April is on Friday. Big last month and a half of the season. So we're also going. Talk to your wife. She's in the room. We're going to England, a little place called England, to see United ideally play Chelsea on that Sunday. But either way, we're going to see them play Chelsea at Old Trafford. Looking forward to that. It might mean something.
Sir, don't talk too loudly about that trip. You know, I got the approval like 9 months ago, and then I think it's finally hitting her that I'm going to head out 6 weeks after our baby's born. But it has been 3 years since I've gone, obviously dying to go. You went to watch Liverpool get smoked, so I'm kind of glad I skipped that one. Let's hope the Chelsea game, we smoke them, and that has top four implications. I'm really hoping there's something to play for there. You might hear my daughter in the background. That's just the way this pod's going to go. We're going to roll with the punches here. We're doing it live.
We are doing it live, sir, and we appreciate you getting through the day. It's been a hell of a one, and United, it's going to be this Leicester match is a big one. You know, the fixtures, it's a combo. We got some hard teams to play. We got some easier sides. But Leicester, they're like one of those teams you don't know who's going to show up. Big test for United. Pretty deep squad in terms of availability. The only one unavailable is Cavani, who picked up another injury, doomed to never feature again for this team, unfortunately. But, you know, no reason we can't get a run going against Leicester at home. A lot to play for, you would think.
Sir, let's get into a quick PSA for the podcast. You like the American Red Devils, you should check out our Discord channel. We have tons of Muppets like you chatting about Manchester United as well as U.S. Women's National Team. We have a bunch of great threads. Boy, my daughter does not like the U.S. Men's National Team at the moment. if you want to join our Discord, you can click on the link that's pinned on our Twitter profile. You'll hop right in and you get to meet a bunch of other American Red Devils. You want to support us as well, check out our Patreon page. We don't have any private sponsors on the podcast. We're not hawking anything that you've listened to before. We want to be supported by you directly. For fans, by fans, that is the other motto of the podcast, sir. Check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Also, check out our website. We have great fan-generated blog content at www.AmericaRedDevils.com. Great article by Than. That Wayne Rooney might be becoming our manager. He's talking about becoming our manager. Are we ready for another United legend to step in? Who knows? So we're talking about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews or five-star reviews, wherever you listen to the American Red Devils podcast, it's a great way to support us, help us get found organically, and even better yet, longest-running promo is continuing. Write a five-star review, and we will send you some free American Devils merch straight to your door, just as a way of showing your support for the pod. Send a five-star review to AmericaRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will send you some merch. So we got a good one right here from Dallas Jack. Love the bias fan take. Good banter. Interesting rant. Perfect balance between the two hosts. One has to level the other one out when he gets heated. It's very funny. Good community, too. That is Discord channel for live game comments. I love that. You got to balance each other out. Yin and yang, baby.
Who gets heated?
It depends on the day. but, sir, let's get into it. You want to start with...
No, hold on. I got breaking news here on the podcast. The United States national team just let in another goal. It is 2-0 to go.
How much time is left?
30 minutes left in the game, and obviously they need four more. Our friends, like, the text thread's blowing up. We got nervous emojis. Yikes. No wonder my daughter is crying here. Again, apologies, but we're just got to make do with what we can today. Let's get into that Leicester preview. Again, so excited to have United back. I think the best place to start would be the table. We got Shitty in first place at 70 points. Scouse Bastards, 69 points. Chelsea scum at 59, Arsenal 54, Tottenham 51, Manchester United, the greatest club in English football. We've won it all at 50 points. West Ham behind us at 48. Finally, the games in hand are catching up. Manchester United with 29, Tottenham with 29, Arsenal with 28. So the real key here is Arsenal has one game in hand, and they have a four-point lead. So that's seven. That's pretty much done and dusted if they don't bottle it. And we know they're bottlers. How are you feeling about how the table's shaping up going into this final push of the season?
I mean, I think I'm feeling about the way we felt going into the international break. That it did feel like a foregone conclusion at this point that, I'm pretty unconfident we're not going to finish in the top four, because count on Arsenal to bottle it. Maybe historical Arsenal would. This Arsenal doesn't seem like they're going to. And I feel like we give ourselves a little bit too much to do. The mountain to climb is going to be a little too high with them likely on 7 points. But that being said, this is the mighty Manchester United, so you never know. I mean, like, I was talking with a buddy of ours about the lines this weekend, and the fact is, like, you have no idea what United side is going to turn up, bro. Like, you know, we could come out, play some good football, and actually, like, put together a result, or it could be the same shit we've seen. Like, don't show up in the first half, second half, you allow them to, like, get in it, get a lot of confidence, we're no penetration, not creating anything. Sir, we've seen that movie before. So it's a big game. Leicester City Foxes, you know, the manager that could have been our next manager if he hadn't bottled this first half of the season. They're back at the top half of the table, but Brendan Rodgers at Leicester City is not doing as well as he was in previous seasons.
Just checking in with 538.com and their sort of predictive model. They have us at 8% to make top four, Tottenham at 25%, Arsenal at 67%. They'll have us finishing 8 points off Arsenal in their projections. Look, here's the deal. We play Arsenal at the Emirates. You win that game.
Yep.
It's four. Are they going to drop points? So yes. In title races, teams used to drop points. In top four races, teams do drop points. Now the question, are they going to drop them or are we going to drop them? Because we know Tottenham's going to drop them. And so who shows up against Leicester City? This is a poor Leicester City side, a very poor Leicester City side. I saw Arsenal absolutely boss them off the pitch since I've been watching their games, considering we're competing for top four. If we don't play well against Leicester City, that is a red flag for me. It's going to be a rocky end of the season. We come out and boss it. Game on. We control. We can control. I'm pumped. I'm back in. It's been 2 weeks. I'm excited to cheer for Manchester United. It's at Old Trafford. Can't get any better than that. I'm absolutely think the lads are going to kill him.
Sir, can you get better than that? I can get it better than that. It's 9:30 a.m. Pacific kickoff time on Saturday, April 2nd at OT. Like you mentioned, sir, can't get better than that in terms of just the leisure kickoff time for us on the West Coast. But that being said, you're absolutely right. This is the last 6 weeks of the season, effectively, for United. Only thing that's left to play for is respect and us hopefully not having to listen to Hans and Franz and do Thursday night football, which could still happen, but that starts with this game. Like, you have to be winning against Leicester City at home, and it would certainly help to put together a decent performance and not just like barely win if you do win. So this is a big match. Ralph's got a lot of options available. It's a pretty deep bench, and no excuses. You're playing at Old Trafford. They're going to be expecting some beautiful football.
Absolutely, sir. Give me the pre-match insight.
There's a lot of insights. United have lost their last three meetings with Leicester in all competitions, as many as they had in the previous 36 against them when they had won 24, drawn 9, and they have never lost four in a row against the Foxes before. Leicester won the exact fixture 2-1 last season. They've never won consecutive away league games against Manchester United. So historically, we had their number, but the last couple games, last really three games, has been tough against the Foxes. And what else is interesting here? Leicester City have lost five of the last six Premier League away games, as many as they had in their previous 26 on the road since the start of last season. So like you said, this is a poor Leicester side. This is a Brendan Rodgers on the ropes. And there's really no excuses at home. This team needs a result. We need to get the ball moving. We need to get the engine fired up again. It's a great opportunity to do so. And kind of one of our, you know, classic Champions League fodder over the last 3 years, it's often started or ended with us with a big game against Leicester. We could use one of those right now.
Absolutely. And don't forget, somebody called the cops. Leicester City must pay $80 million for Harry Maguire.
Yeah, that's the same guys who paid $80 million are the guy that like can't close at Ten Hag or can't, you know, get a CDM in or can't. I think we should sign Harry Kane this summer, which I can't wait to hear you talk about a little later, sir. That's catching some momentum.
Oh, we got to talk about the boo-hoo-hoo parade for Harry Maguire on social media. That's like,
can't wait.
The guy's an absolute bum when he wears the Manchester United shirt. It's like, come on. It's like he's getting paid so much money. He hasn't been playing well. What are you going to do? Like, say nice things to somebody who's not playing well? It's like, you got to. We can get into that a little later.
I know, but if you want to get England like fans have it, they love to villainize Manchester United players. They have for decades, bro. They did it to Beckham. They did it to Rooney. And Slabhead, he ain't those two players. And I'm not saying he is, but he's actually played well for England. So it's just kind of like they're just hopping on the social media bandwagon based on United's poor performances. But hey, sorry, that's
You can't handle the heat.
Trust me. He is not captain material at this club.
You don't got the guts, Harry Maguire. Look, Lifetime versus Leicester City, we've won 68, we've drawn 30, lost 36. This should be easy pickings. First time we played them, September 1894. Leicester Foss versus Newton Heath, we won 3-2 in the second division. Our last five, yikes. We've lost the last three against Leicester City. We've drawn one and then won one. They've had our number. They bounced us from the FA Cup, if you recall. But that time we beat them, that was four top four on the final day of the season. So of all the games that matter the most, that £100 million match, we did win. But we've been dragging. So let's hope that we can show up and get an easy three.
Now that's what this should be, right? The string of easy threes, hopefully, on the way to top four. But this team is Jekyll and Hyde. We have no idea who's going to show up. We have no idea who's going to decide that they want to run around for 90 minutes. And there's really no excuse at this point because we know how big this game is, sir. And Leicester City, they're a little bit on the up considering where they started the season, but they're there for the taking. Like you said, Arsenal just like ran over them a couple weeks ago. Actually, that was more than a couple weeks ago. But like you said, they're there for the taking.
Last five matches, they beat Leeds. They beat Rennes. They lost to Arsenal 2-0. They lost to Rennes in the Europa Conference League. By the way, we might be there next season. And then they beat Brentford. Interesting form. So kind of patchy coming in, but they are on the... I see that little Leicester win gives them a little bit of a bounce. History about Leicester, they were founded in 1884 as Leicester Foss FC. They played near Foss Road in Leicester City. They moved to Filbert Street in 1891, where they were elected to the Football League in 1894. And that's when they officially adopted the name Leicester City in 1919. Obviously, they won famously the 15-16 Premier League title, the first top-tier title, becoming one of seven clubs to have won the Premier League since its inception in 1992. Everyone talks about the odds. It was outstanding that they were able to win a relegation bound side that barely staved it off and then came back and then turned it around to win the league. It's unbelievable. And they were called the Unbelievables as one of the nicknames instead of the Invincibles, which obviously Arsenal has coined, but you know, they're not very invincible these days. Brendan B. Raj, as we like to call him here, been playing the 4-2-3-1. Obviously Schmeichel, the son of the Manchester United legend in net. Tielemans in the midfield, we've been linked to him. James Maddison, he knows a thing or two. Harvey Barnes, get this guy the Harvey Barnes haircut. And then Ian Nacho up top, you know, the City reject. But, you know, some interesting players. It will be a game, but we should be able to handle them. Again, how many times do I got to say, you look at this roster, Cavani's the only one really out. Should be able to be Leicester.
Certainly should, sir. You certainly should. They're, you know, they're a feel-good club for a lot of people based on what you just talked about. They tragically lost their Thai owner, I believe, in a helicopter crash a couple years ago,
yes,
which was really awful.
That was horrible.
But they're a terrifically well-run club, right? He invested a ton of money. He put some really smart people in important management positions. They've recruited exceptionally well. And I'm sure we could learn a thing or two in the front office about how to do business like Leicester does. I don't know what the $80 million. I mean, they fleeced us for Slabhead. I'll tell you what, that will go down in history as some kind of deal.
No, but if you think of the players that have come out of Leicester in big money deals, you look at Mahrez and Conte and Maguire, and it's like clearly like we bought the wrong one. I mean, Madison we've been linked to in the past as well, but I mean, like there are some good players there. And hey, look, it's not a hate on Harry show. Let's get in the lineups here, Alex. Who do you got? Who are you starting?
So I am going with the Gea in net, world number one. Who else? Delow, Maguire. Hope he gets a warm reception, sir. Back United all the way. Varane, tell us. I'm going to do Fred and Matic. I like that midfield pairing when we saw it. Bruno, Sancho, Pogba, and Ronaldo. Sir, who you got?
I got Dave Say's role number one in that. I'm going to go AWB. I'm going to go Lindelof, Varane, and Shaw. Shaw played well for England. You got to give me that Fred, McTominay, midfield, Bruno, Elanga, Rashford, Ronaldo. I don't know if Rashford deserves it, but he had some time off. He cleared his head. Give the kid a shot. It's Leicester City. He needs to get some mojo going. What do the bookies say about this one?
Bookies have United as the favorites. We got United at home, minus 200, the draw, plus 350, and then Leicester plus 500, sir. What is your score prediction? United at home. First game for baby girl. Hopefully it's a big one. Come on, bring us luck.
I'm going to say 3-1. I think it's open game. We score early, two, and then they pin one. We score again and win it. So, obviously, Ronaldo heavily involved.
Obviously. They, you know, him and Bruno did look good qualifying for the World Cup like Portugal did. I'm going to call 1-0 penalty, sir. Ronaldo, the penalty. Just tight, nervy match like you know it is. And maybe star sign special. We'll see.
Oh, my God. I'm watching a replay of a goal being scored by Costa Rica here.
Is that the second one or the third one? Did they concede another one?
No. I think that was the second one. I just almost had a heart attack. I'm switching between the agenda and the game. It's like, don't pot. Don't pot more.
We got a four goal padding at the moment. What, 20 minutes to play?
Yep, 20 minutes to play. All right, let's get into the news. United in the news. We got a bunch of news stories here. Erik ten Hag, Manchester United sound out compensation fee for Ajax head coach. We're haggling with Ajax, obviously. Edwin van der Sar. You know, we have a good relationship there. They sold us Donny. Apparently, his contract isn't as locked down as Pochettino. He was going to be the cheaper option. I think that's why United are heavily into Erik ten Hag. If you look at his record, very successful in the Dutch league, young, up-and-coming coach. The only box that is not ticked is, can he handle those big egos and those big wage, you know, those big wage fools at Manchester United, if you will. I mean, it's hard to kind of get those all-stars to be as motivated as sort of a hungry Ajax side. But again, I can't complain if he's going to be our manager. If he is appointed, then you got to be looking to the front office to get him what he needs. How are you feeling about the progress of Erik ten Hag as Manchester United manager?
I feel like you felt the opening of the pod, sir, which is like frustrated. Like this shit shouldn't take that long. But we're the Muppets. We follow this very closely, right? The news is definitely like accelerating around the Dutchman. There was a positive interview that happened last week, and apparently Ten Hag got skipped over for the Spurs job, I think a year ago, and his English wasn't good enough. Apparently he worked on that, and he impressed. So we'll see. But he's also the cheap option, like you said. Ajax is friendly with us. We have a good relationship. Obviously, Eddie is the CEO there, a good CEO named Edward. That's not Woodward. So I think this is the move. We need a club builder, sir, someone, because like we don't have a front office. So we need a manager that has a philosophy, that has a solid approach to recruitment. I mean, put Rangnick near him. That would be ideal in a front office capacity. But I like Ten Hag. He's not young, technically. He's like in his early 50s. But that's what I want, someone who's done it, built sides at Ajax, playing the Champions League, exciting style football, and we have to go back to basics a little bit, and I think he'd be the man to do it.
It is the thing about Ten Hag that I think people are going to realize is it's almost like, by the way, Van Gaal came out midweek and was like, don't go to United. Van Gaal is like, savage. What a riot.
Of course he did, bro.
No, but, you know, he speaks truth to it. And he said, hey, we're a commercial club. They're worried about money over winning, right? And that's – it's still a Manchester United. I don't know how you pass up that job. if you think of Erik ten Hag and what that would do for his resume. But at the same time, it's like a ten Hag appointment, you have to be thinking like 5 years.
Right.
Because when you appointed Van Gaal, it's like he wants to play a specific style of play, right? Coming out of Ajax, they did play with Ten Hag, similar, different than Van Gaal. But in order to implement that system, it will take 2 seasons and 2 transfer windows to even get to the players that we want to be able to play that way for 3, 4, and 5. So Ten Hag is a real long-term appointment. And the problem is Manchester United has chopped and changed and chopped and changed. We've tried to do the long-term thing. I would argue that at the end of LVG's tenure, we started playing his style much better. It took 2 years to even get to a productive idea of what he wanted as a manager. It takes time, and Ten Hag would be the guy to give time versus like an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, sorry for smiling situation. But I don't know if the board is going to be aligned there. You know, so as fans, if we bring in Ten Hag, the boardroom, the front office, everyone has to be aligned on like the long-term vision and how we're going to get there. Because this isn't a quick fix. You know, the Conte is the quick fix. The Ten Hag is a long-term rebuild of the club.
And we know that's what we need. I mean, that's what I want. I'm in it for the long haul all day. But like you said, fans, it's tough. We want results now. I hope that the front office, like you said, everyone's aligned. The Glazers are like, we're going to go low and slow. You know, bleed this club out as long as we can. This guy, he has the right philosophy, right approach, but you have to give him the reins, right? It's like, I feel like every manager that's been brought in has been hamstrung in some way by the executive team, the owners of this club. Give the man the real impetus and real control to actually affect change in a meaningful way. Dude, we got nothing but time. Like you said, sir, there's the only way we're going to get better while the Glazers are our owners is this approach. So, like, why not?
Yeah, but the real key of my, you know, skepticism about the boardroom is the fact that they've hired managers and arguably like have been the problem. They did not succeed. Obviously, Moyes like moiseyed it. He just couldn't handle it. Too big for his britches, right? Like, at the end of the day, he's doing well at West Ham, but like we all saw that like the lights were a little too bright for him at that point. Maybe now it's a different story. Then you go LVG. And you give this guy all this money, and he's a lunatic, right? But then you fire him, arguably at like when it's starting to work. I would, you know, what I'm saying, I didn't like the football he was playing, but he got us to play that way by and win something. And then that's when you fire him. Makes no sense. Then you bring in Mourinho, and you give him no money. Mourinho's the guy you got to give money to. Win now, Mourinho. We did the opposite of what he needed, and then we end up backing Ole Gunnar Solskjaer with half a billion that you didn't give to Mourinho. It just seems like they're doing the opposite every time. So at Ten Hag, they'll like give him nothing, won't support the rebuild, and like fire him in 2 years.
Yeah, basically.
And so like, yeah, you could have a good manager and just like have the wrong strategy above him, and that will lead to their demise. And I'm not saying Moyes, LVG, Mourinho, or whatever would have been the guys. I'm just saying if the guys above them were thinking or playing to their tune a little more, you would probably see better results on the pitch. Like instead of fighting with the board for the defender, Mourinho could have been trying to win more.
Right, and like you said, to a certain extent, it doesn't really matter what manager you appoint as the manager of Manchester United, given the front office, the structure, the lack of care or discipline or strategy from the owners. So, yeah, we're kind of doomed because then you get stories like this, sir, that just like seem real on the nose for this club.
Hold on, I got one thing to say. You know I've been thinking of more and more lately.
Tell me,
as manager of Manchester United, the man to do it, like Simeone, and it's like he won't play the way we want to play, but he's the type of guy that we need because he commands respect. He's a leader of men, and everyone works their socks off for him on the pitch. He doesn't mess around. And it's almost like he's like Conte or Mourinho, but the real deal. You know, like people really are loyal to him and follow him. I watched a Kieran Trippier interview about him. That's the type of guy we need at Old Trafford, because the issues with our club now are around the fact that we don't have a culture and we don't have a leader. And it's almost like Simeone gives you that. And that's what we're dying for. Obviously, his defensive style of play isn't too attractive, but we're just lacking that sort of rudder. And I don't know if Ten Hag and his English isn't horrible, but, you know, is he going to be the guy to set the tone? I just feel like if you looked at what's wrong with us, the prescription would be more Simeone.
I don't know. I'm not,
more cojones.
I'll play counter to that. I could see the argument. It's more of like you said, the Conte Mourinho vibe. I mean, look at the CVs of Conte and Mourinho. They've won more than he has, and he has a certain style of play that I don't think would go over super well. And his English isn't perfect either, sir. You know, I know Ten Hag's isn't. But, you know, I think there's a lot of different approaches you could do. Honestly, it's not like there's one perfect choice. And that's the only choice where we could get to a successful outcome as a club in the next 3 to 5 years. It's just like, it's going to be the right fit. And right now it's like you're dragging a lead ball with two hands tied behind your back. Whoever the manager will be like totally hamstrung because, sir, think about all the contracts expiring, the amount of deals that need to be done this summer, bro. The amount of selling we need to do and buying. How did that go last year? We couldn't sell anybody. We're not going to be able to sell anybody again.
No, I understand. But my fear about Ten Hag is the same sort of like you look at Rangnick, and if he does it at Schalke, it works because people are just like willing to work hard and they're hungry. And it's like he comes to United and nobody cares about the guy. Nobody's heard about the guy. And it's like you have Ten Hag. It could be kind of the same vibe where he has trouble getting a grip on the locker room, and for whatever reason that's a huge deal at United at the moment. You know, I obviously we've heard the leaks, we don't know exactly what's wrong, but that seems to be like, why are these really good players not able to try hard or play together? And it's like we need a leader there, and it's clearly ain't Harry. So
no, it ain't,
you know.
And but you know what, look at the type of manager at the front of the list. The two managers that are at the front of the queue is Poch and Ten Hag, and both are relatively easygoing in the realm of elite global football managers. So it's like they want a yes man, brother, at the end of the day. And it's like, do you want like a failing star, Pochettino, who's like, you shouldn't even touch that with a 10-foot pole? Or a player that, you know, hasn't done it in the big leagues, really, has like gotten quite a bit out of a smaller budget, but with an excellent front office, which he's not going to have here. And obviously the egos and a front office that's fucking awful. So it's like, sorry, he's not going to be set up to succeed either way. So it's going to be a real challenge, but whatever they should do, they should just make a decision and go with it.
Absolutely. You know what?
Speaking of which, we
grew up in New Jersey. We played, American football, and we got yelled at a lot. So I think that's how that informs my Simeone choice. You know, it's like this. I feel like this dressing room needs like a little like North Jersey cold weather, like American football, like a coach yelling at them. That might not work nowadays, though. But yeah, like you said, speaking of it, for some reason you did the news, you always put in we're gonna buy Harry Kane here. I think you're just like trying to get me upset.
I am It's like, that's not going away, bro. It's not going away.
Okay, well give me the Harry Kane transfer. Okay, Harry Kane's number one fan over here. Harry Kane's number one fan.
I do not
right
want
here.
Harry Kane, please don't give me
this
Harry
guy
Kane.
Loves Harry Kane.
You're talking about swap deal. They're throwing Martial in, sir. 100 million rated Harry Kane, sir. So maybe throwing Martial be 95 million.
Yeah, right.
Okay, next story.
By the way, Martial at Sevilla, how'd that go?
Yeah,
it's
awesome.
Like, it ain't going great. Oh, United's the problem? Yeah, go to Sevilla. Oh, you can't even play there. LOL. It's like, come on. I love Tony, but it, like the idea that the mentality he had around like, oh, it's a club, it's not me, and sulking. Like, that's why you need some North Jersey football coach. Ted Lasso style, get him in there. Next bit of news here. Bruno killed it for Portugal against North Macedonia. I mean, Ronaldo had an assist. Bruno had the brace that qualified for Qatar 2022. Speaking of Qatar 2022, United States still hanging on.
Let's go,
2-0
baby.
Costa Rica. We are losing.
Who cares?
We are destined to qualify here. 5 minutes left in the match.
Let's go, baby. Ain't scoring 4 goals in 5 minutes.
And on that topic, Bruno, new deal. What do you make of it?
Sir, I got pretty emotional. I got pretty upset over this last run of games. I wanted to sell a lot, including Bruno. That's not the approach. That's not the move. I mean, for all of the other players around, I do think this makes sense. He's at parity with players who are far inferior to him, i.e. Tony Martial. Apparently, this contract is just to get him on that level. And we've had player after player leave for free. We're going to have another one embarrassingly laugh in our face as he's been laughing at us for years. Leave for free after paying £89 million. Sorry, I have no problem with this, even though, like, we need a cultural reshift, but I don't think Bruno's the problem.
No, not at all. And, easy extension. He extends it for next 5 years. Obviously, he plays well. His value goes up. If he's a part of the system under the new coach, for me, it's the new coach. Like, how does he want to play? Where can Bruno play? You know, like I was talking to you, I think we were on a morning run. It's like if he could play that false nine or go out on the wing, you know, you see players Bernardo Silva at City can do so many different roles. With Bruno, obviously, it's more the traditional number 10. But you have to see how Ten Hag, if it's him, how he plays him. I think, like, right now the front office re-upping these deals is smart. It's good business. It's what we should have done with, like, arguably Paul Pogba.
Totally.
Before, so then you can sell them and make some money, obviously. This club seems to be interested in making money, but this is sound business for Manchester United. Absolutely love it. Even though I did sell Bruno.
We said sell everybody.
But here's the thing. If you are going to sell Bruno, you need him on a longer-term deal.
That's
so
right.
The other club pays you more money. And I just want to make sure that it's coach and system first from the front office, from the director of football to the coach, and then the players fit the system. So I don't want to find, like, Paul Pogba's and be like, for 5 years, where does he fit in? Move him around. It seems we'd be doing a lot of that with players versus trying to find players for the way we want to play, a la a man shitty, etc.
No, for sure, sir. But that, you know, of all the re-ups and bad re-ups and lack of re-ups that we've, like, totally whiffed on, I mean, this is not like another player who's kind of angling for a new deal who said, like, some really embarrassing remarks, and that's Luke Shaw. I mean, Bruno.
Embarrassing? What do you say?
Well, he was like, I don't feel love. You know, he's like, I want to feel wanted.
He says anything he says is going to be dissected from here. Like, okay, let's just get into the Harry Maguire thing. So, like, all of a sudden, like, basically the England fans boo Harry Maguire at Wembley.
Yeah.
And then now everyone on social media who's like, by the way, every Twitter, everything, everyone's been killing Harry Maguire for, like, the last year. Everyone's been killing him. Now they're all like, Harry Maguire doesn't deserve this. Like, what is this? It's like,
I don't know.
Sir. Why do we? It's like, there's way too many feelings here. It should be way more. It should just be focused on his football performance. I totally agree. Like, you know, he's been getting, like, knocked down. The reason why he's getting knocked down is he's the captain of Manchester United and he's got the confidence of a wet noodle. I mean, even if you were playing bad and he had, like, a little bit of bark, like, it wouldn't be as bad, but he comes out, he's like, we tried hard. Like, it's just, dude, Rangnick should have taken the armband from him. That's the move. Take the pressure off him. Give him a little bit of a break. I just don't think it's been managed well. Like, I do have sympathy for Maguire. Like, there is a player there. He plays well for England. England fans booing him when he got into the final of the Europa League and the semifinal of the Euro Cup. Like, that makes no sense why England fans would boo him. But for United, he's been poor. Now, sometimes the criticism go over the top. Yeah, but you're an £80 million player. It's like, you're going to get criticized. We bought him. He's going to be compared to Van Dijk.
Naturally.
Van Dijk's on another planet, dude.
Yeah.
It's like, It's like, of course, it's a rough look, but that's how it goes, you know? It's like,
dude, it's how it goes, and at the end of the day, it's like, what? It's because England fans are kind of fucking shitty, bro. And at the end of the day, it's like, they have no reason to boo him. They're just booing him because, like, yeah, he's not playing well for England. Fuck, not England, he's United, fuck him. Like, just the whole pile on. I don't like the reaction of everyone just doing this whole, like, hey, don't do that. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's a bad look for England to be booing Harry Maguire when he's always played well for England, and he sucks for United. It's like, if anything, we have a right to boo, but United, dude, we have higher standards than fucking England. We do. And we don't boo our players, you know, like, usually, almost ever. And that's kind of a thing that I saw us got spanked off the pitch, bro. One of the most embarrassing displays in the history of this great club. Nobody fucking booed. Nobody booed. So it's like, but England fans, they boo because that's just what they do. So Harry, he shouldn't be the captain. He still has a role to play. Like, we paid $80 million for him. We gotta like ride that ship. But booing him in England, I don't know. Yeah.
You sell him, bro. You sell him for $8 million.
$8 million? You can't sell him, bro. Who's buying him? Newcastle spent like, who knows, dude, buying him, bro?
I saw him to Preston North End, bro. He'd be like down.
He'd be paid his wages.
Yeah, I'd buy him out. I'd be like, you're done. You're done. That'd be one of the first things I did.
Did we qualify yet?
I was like, guess what? We ain't serving soft serve ice cream at Manchester United anymore. We're getting the hard knocks. That's where we're going, like North Jersey hard knocks.
Sir, North Jersey, North Portugal, North Spain, wherever it's hard. Simeone didn't grow up in Jersey, but he grew up in a New Jersey equivalent of wherever.
Exactly.
Because he's hard,
that's
bro.
That's what we need. We need more of that. We need more of that at Manchester United at the moment, because we're just like, it's just like, baby, you know what, FC. It's just like, come on, man. that's what I think fans are frustrated with. It's just sort of this, like, it's a woe is me attitude. And look, I'm sure Harry's a nice guy, but he seems like kind of a numpty. Like, the one for me was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer sacked, and he goes out to dinner to celebrate his like sister's birthday or whatever, which is fine. But then like someone asks for a picture and he like takes it with them. And it's like, that's on social media. Like, Ole got fired and you're like out hanging out. It's like,
You made him captain.
Like, you don't do, you know, it's
I
like,
just don't think they have
any like,
fucking
certain
awareness.
Things like, exactly. Like, there's certain things like that. Like, I just don't think he does himself any favors publicly. So maybe he gets like a PR firm, you know.
Maybe.
Harry, hire me. Yeah. I'm available. I'm obviously taking the piss out of you, but you know, I'm sorry. You can hire me. As far as the United States national team here, 93rd minute, Costa Rica 2-0. We're gonna qualify for the 2022 World Cup. I think this is sort of we're gonna close the chapter here on the US men's national team takeover. They did it. We're going back to Qatar. Couldn't be more excited for this trip that we're going on. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait to support the United States. We went to Brazil. It was phenomenal. We went to USA-Ghana match. They beat Ghana 2-1. It was just unreal in Natal, Brazil. And I look forward to supporting them again. It's going to be awesome. I think this team is going to get better. They had a rough qualifying run. But, you know, the World Cup's a different beast. And the draw is on April 1st.
Friday, baby.
Losing our group. That's going to be unbelievable. World Cup is something special. You can't ignore it as a football fan. Obviously, United is number one, but the World Cup for me is just like, it's like Santa Claus coming every 4 years, honestly. It's just magic. Love the World Cup.
No, absolutely right. I mean, we are the American Red Devils at the end of the day. First love, primary love, is always going to be this great club, Manchester United. But U.S., dude, this team is very exciting. Really talented players. Even the Hef, he's not the perfect guy for the job, but like, dude, he got us qualified.
You got it.
I made a rule myself as I was like prepping for this pod, sir, is like, he gets out of the group, I'm gonna learn how to say his last name. Not until then. He did enough, bro. They got the big win at Panama. They did get a decent draw against Mexico. And I thought I liked the way they played in the first half against Costa Rica. So, sir, like you said, World Cup is no joke, bro. I know we're not gonna have CONCACAF and all the shenanigans to go with that, but here's the big deal. So it's gonna be fun to watch.
So the game just finished. The results are final. Canada wins the group at 28 points. Mexico in second place at 28 points. United States in third, 25 points. Costa Rica in fourth at 25 points. We edge out going to the Oceania playoff on goal differential, dude, with this team. And it's like, yeah, it's a positive moment, but like, it's been a rough, we've underperformed in qualification because you're literally tying Costa Rica on points. Mexico is horrible. They beat you. Canada, who are they? They beat you. And we got like world beaters on our team. That's the one question mark I have going to the World Cup is that this is a side, if you compare it on paper to any of these other teams, we should easily win the group. And we come in third, tied on points with Costa Rica.
Well, sir, we know why that is. It's like, we have the best squad by far in CONCACAF, not even close. But we don't have the best manager. Canada's got a better manager than we do, you know. So at the end of the day, you're going to be held back because of that. Is he a terrible manager? Obviously not. He qualified, but this is a really good squad. And I think if he's jogging around Qatar before a game or some of his crazy back pass shit.
No, like, Jordan Morris goes. To
like
the
Jordan
World
Morris
Cup,
has,
you know?
Yeah, Jesus Christ, bro. Like if he's packing all these MLS players over and not featuring like the Weas of the world that looked awesome tonight. So I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he's gonna be the guy in 2028 when, or is it 2026 when we come to the U.S. Mexico Canada World Cup. But he earned this one, so it's like this is the big show now. It's like you qualified, bro. But the light's very bright at the World Cup, sir. Expectations are gonna be high for this side, and the teams we're gonna be playing are no joke, bro. Italy didn't make it, so everyone is looking to make their mark.
Yeah, and I think this is similar to United, where it's like we missed the World Cup last time, so this time we're just like ecstatic qualifying, which to be honest, I actually am. But then looking at the table, I'm a little miffed. The real thing was like we should have qualified for every World Cup, and we should be thinking quarters, semis, like realistically, like we should be really trying to make runs in these tournaments. And again, I just think we're going to be that happy to make top four side. We're happy to be in Qatar side versus thinking about quarterfinals. Like I think Klinsmann did a good job of like setting our goal. Like our goal is quarters, semis would be beating our goal. Like imagine the US, imagine Burkheffer saying like, yo, I want to make it to the quarters of the World Cup. He's going to be thinking, oh, get out of the group.
Get out of the group, bro. He's not going to get out of the group.
But hey, if he gets out of the group, then it's the real deal.
Yep.
I'll clap. I'll tell you what. We'll be there. I'll clap him up. We get out of the group in the World Cup. Any group we get, I'm hoping we get an easy group. But I think we're getting the group of death.
I think
that's what you get. You want to talk about rigged? You want to talk about rigged?
Ain't nothing more rigged than FIFA, bro.
Yeah, you want to talk about USA? Like, mark my words, group of death, we're going to be in it 100%.
Oh,
it's just going to be the way
without
it goes.
Without a doubt.
Sir, that's it. That's the podcast. The wife is giving me the eyes.
Survivor's on, bro. It's time, baby. Let's wrap this shit.
If you like the American Devils, we are for fans by fans. You know, check out our website, www.americadevils.com. Great fan-generated blog content there. Like I mentioned, click on store, buy some merchandise, helps support the podcast. We absolutely love doing it. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Like I said, no ads on the pod. That is the way you can support us via Patreon. Check out our Discord. Write a review on iTunes. Sir, please mispronounce the top 10 cities over the last 7 days for downloads.
Sir, get the hell out of here. Go spend time with your wife and your baby girl. I'll wrap us up.
I appreciate you. Thank you to the American Red Devils community. You guys are the best. What a day. I'm going to get some rest and celebrate the fact that USA is going to Qatar 2022. And let's hope United can kick on for top four. Appreciate you, sir.
Sir, not the only thing we're celebrating. Lots of love for you and the family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Cheers.
All right, top cities, last 7 days. Ooh. Number one, how you doing? Charleston, South Carolina. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Purcellville, Virginia. Columbus, Ohio, Walnut, California, Old Lyme, Connecticut, Los Angeles, California, Reston, VA, Miami, Florida, and last but not least, Alameda, California. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. We could not do it without you. Big, big day for the American Red Devils. Big day for Manchester United. Not as much because we're getting looking forward to this weekend, but USA qualifies. United's back on the weekend. Looking forward to that. Let's beat the Foxes. United Clips ought to send you out. See you soon.